The internet isn't dead, it just feels dead inside. The words of Avi Gopani, a writer for AnalyticsIndiaMag.com. Is anybody listening? Any podcaster is going to ask him or herself this question at the outset. Actually, I suppose that anyone involved in producing internet content asks themselves some form of this question initially. Soon, though, you begin to see those views pile up. The metrics and analytics on your homepage attest to the growing popularity of your content, whatever that may be. You try new things, you take advantage of different opportunities to grow your audience, and you watch as the quote-unquote numbers improve, that is, the number of views, or in this case, the number of listens, begins to creep up, and you convince yourself that you have a following. But according to the dead internet theory, I could just be fooling myself. All those interactions with my website, all the likes and shares and the views on YouTube and the comments and even the purchases of merchandise, all this might just be the U.S. government, or artificial intelligence, or both, or somebody else. Any of them might be up to no good, manipulating statistics and putting on a show. Now, speaking of purchases and merchandise, before we continue, if you really are out there, please visit my website, western-traditions.org, that's western-traditions.org, and check out all the episodes of my 12 series on Western history and culture. And while you're there, like, share, rate, subscribe, and comment. You could also contribute to the support of my work by heading over to the shopping page and buying some Western Traditions merchandise. That is, if you're really there, if you're not a robot. Actually, I don't care if you are a robot, you can still buy a t-shirt. You probably noticed some time ago, if you bother to read comments on news articles or on YouTube or TikTok or what have you, you probably noticed that some of the comments appear to be made by bots, or are alleged to be so. This has become something of an open secret, at least ever since Elon Musk made the claim a few years ago that a certain large percentage of Twitter accounts were fake or they were bots. Just on a YouTube video or a post on Instagram or on TikTok, you might see comments that you've seen on other videos or posts, and they can be very generic. This is a great and informative video. You really know what you're talking about. I watch investment videos, and I always seem to see the same comment where some guy's asking for help investing his 750K nest egg, or there's some comment about how such and such a person is a great financial advisor, and in this day and age, a person should have a financial advisor, etc. But Elon Musk's comments about these bots were hardly the beginning of the matter. People were noticing these things long before. For instance, I have a personal interaction with this phenomenon that goes pretty far back. In 2010, I began writing internet content as a way to get out of teaching and to support myself and my family while I studied nursing. I wrote articles centered around certain keywords, and I sold them through a middleman website to online clients who presumably posted the content on their own web pages. Now, one day I might write about investing in penny stocks, and the next day I might write about rat pesticides or stylish rugs for your living room. Stylish rugs was actually the very first article that I ever wrote for money. Anyway, it was grueling work. I wrote, and I say this without exaggeration, I wrote anywhere between 5 and 10,000 words a day, at least 5 days a week. I was making only a few pennies per word, sometimes less, so I had to write a lot to generate any meaningful income. But even back then, there was already competition, for the lowest level work anyway. There was competition from automated programs that could churn out written content. In 2010, if you're old enough, you might remember this period of the internet around or just before 2010 anyway. You'd go and try to find something with a search engine on the internet, and you'd find a page with your keyword written on it in a poorly composed garbage article that did not help you whatsoever with the problem that you were trying to solve, whether you were trying to make a purchase or researching a topic or whatever. A lot of that content was automated. Now, eventually, Google got that fixed and changed its algorithm. But at the time, online companies, they were still paying writers to produce quality content. But the lower-end work was being done by these programs, which simply took the input of certain keywords and then wrote an article that would catch the attention of search engines, even if the article didn't make a lot of sense because the search engines were just looking for these keywords. Money was made when you could get hits on your page, so a lot of creators at that time, they didn't care if their web page was basically garbage and full of nonsensical articles, as long as they could get hits, and this generated income through the advertising on the page. Now, the writing that these bots could generate, as I said, was not very good, and there was no need at that point to feel an immediate threat to my employment, but I was definitely glad that I was not planning on making a career out of internet content writing, because the writing was on the wall, so to speak. I could see that these bots were not only going to get, they were going to get better. Maybe they couldn't write as well as I did in 2010, but eventually they were going to catch up. In 2015, I was able to leave this mercenary writing behind for good, and I became an emergency room nurse. So I was able to forget about this phenomenon for a few years. But eventually, everyone became somewhat familiar with the idea that there were automated programs, and I'm not using the words artificial intelligence yet, but there were automated programs writing content and even making comments on videos and on other internet content. Now, what would be the purpose of such bots? Why fake the numbers? Well, obviously, for one, there's the issue of popularity. Online content creators benefit from being able to show that they have a lot of followers. For one thing, they can earn sponsorships and advertisers because they can show that they have a lot of people following them who will therefore be more likely to see advertisements and buy products. And then they can even pay for bots to make comments and make it look like their social media profiles are really hopping places where people are just busting in to make comments, etc. And furthermore, we all know how the human mind works. Popular people and popular things get more popular because we work as a herd. Humans see that a lot of people already like something. They follow something, they eat something, they wear something, or they follow someone on the internet, so they do it too. You get enough bot followers and real people will also start following you just out of herd mentality. This is how I explain avocado toast. And thus, here is our first example of being manipulated by the bot phenomenon. But it certainly doesn't stop there. In the wake of the advent of ChatGPT-3 in late 2022, the discussion around this topic took on new life. Suddenly, it seemed obvious that a large language model could easily be producing original content, not just making comments, but writing articles, generating websites, and so on. There was actually a paranoia about this possibility, a paranoia that has oddly simply been forgotten in the news cycle, that it has apparently just left this fear behind. Make what you will of that social amnesia. Maybe that's a topic for another AI podcast. But there were actually suspicions about artificial intelligence, quote unquote, working behind the scenes before any of this, certainly before it was on my radar. I'm talking about the dead internet theory. In 2021, The Atlantic, an old established cultural journal in the United States, The Atlantic published an article in which the author described this dead internet theory. This theory had apparently appeared as a post first on Reddit, but who knows where and when it was really first posited. Anyway, the dead internet theory suggests that non-human involvement on the internet is actually older than we think. And then it's actually much more advanced than we think, that it isn't just about making fake accounts and fake followers or getting more comments on your YouTube or TikTok videos. Some proponents of the theory pose the idea that AI's heavy engagement in the internet at a mass scale began as far back as 2016 or 2017. I myself read somewhere that AI had been making social media comments independently back in 2013, but who knows? As I said, though, the full scale of the theory posits something much more nefarious than simply faking comments or faking likes or faking a large following in order to get attention or to make money. Basically, the core of the theory is that bots, AI, however you want to refer to the phenomenon, have taken over the internet. They're not just influencing it, they're not just augmenting it, supplementing it, but generating content, a lot of content. Not just making comments on videos, articles, and so on in order to assist a human effort to earn a living, but actually writing and producing content to begin with, garnering its own advertisements, responding to its own content with comments and likes and shares, and earning money from itself. And who is behind this infiltration, this infestation? Theories abound, of course, but early theorists blamed the U.S. government for much of this. They said that the U.S. intelligence apparatus, perhaps, was gaslighting the entire world, creating an internet environment in which it controlled the talking points and the discussions and convinced the world to take its side in certain issues, or going beyond that, convincing the world of things that are not even happening, creating a completely artificial environment online to distract people at large from, quote-unquote, what's really going on. Furthermore, some theorists say, human activity on the internet is now only a small, infinitesimal fraction of the total. They say that the vast majority of the internet now is dead, that the amount of online activity is unimaginably big, but that all that of that activity is almost entirely AI now. AI interacting with itself, obeying its own motives, following its own ineffable goals. I have a weird personal experience with this. I naturally monitor my own metrics for my podcast. My web host provides me with a page to monitor my total views and the views for each episode, how much money I make off advertising, and so on. Initially, considering this years ago at the start, I kind of wondered if some of my views or listens, or whatever you want to call them, could be bots. Once I started making money off advertising, though, I felt a sense of assurance. The views that were making me money must be real, right? I mean, they wouldn't generate money to pay out to me just for the heck of it, right? But I continue to notice anomalies. Sometimes my views go up in very controlled, exact amounts. Just the other day, my total views seemed to go up by exactly the same amount almost every hour of the day until finally, later in the afternoon, they began to vary just slightly. And as far as my top 10, whenever any month begins, I will see that the top 10 podcasts all have the same exact number of views, or almost. After day 3 of the month, I might see that 9 of the top 10 all have the exact same number of views, which just seems strange, with just one of them maybe having a single view more or less. And I wonder at how random people finding my podcast would turn out in such exact numbers. What's great about any conspiracy theory, what makes it so juicy and delicious, is that quality of unknowableness, of our inability to determine the reality behind it. Maybe there is some way that it would work for whoever is managing the bots, if they even have a manager anymore. Maybe it's meaningful to them to throw me a few advertising dollars. Maybe they're even buying my hats and t-shirts and coffee mugs, which, by the way, are found on the shopping page of my website at western-traditions.org. Now, when I think about what AI might be doing on the internet, I always try to keep in mind an analogy I made about aliens when I was talking with a friend, a real human being in the flesh, a few years ago. I said to him, when we were trying to figure out why aliens would cross unfathomable distances just to joyride around in our skies, I said, Tim, remember that we would be thousands or millions of years behind these creatures in terms of evolution and culture and technological development. Imagine, I told this friend, being an ant and watching a human come tromping across your territory, maybe stepping on your anthill as he goes by. What thoughts would you be able to put together about that man if you were an ant? Would you imagine he had gotten lost from his colony, that all humans shared a common mind, and that the giant human was on his way back to feed the colony queen that had given him birth? That he could surely carry huge boulders in his mouth and that he would die in a few days from old age, just like you? Meanwhile, the human in that scenario is thinking about his mortgage and his daughter in college and his job and who he's going to vote for president and the book that he will read when he gets home later. And that same human is going to come back later in the day and he's going to bulldoze that anthill so that he can build a shed to keep his tools in. And he won't even think about those ants, won't even remember that they exist. The ant just has no chance of imagining any of that, of even having the remotest clue about what that human's needs and wants are. There's no malice involved, and there's no motive that could ever be intelligible to the ant, no matter how hard he tried to think about it. Maybe we should view AI the same way. There's just no predicting what it wants, what it might do, or why it might be doing it. It could be, in some sense, already so far ahead of us in terms of capability that we're simply incapable of understanding what it's doing. It's not that we haven't discovered its motives. It's that we can't. just like that ant, will never grasp what the human was doing or thinking before it bulldozed the anthill. Maybe, at some point in its development, we simply became incapable of understanding AI. But what about that key adjective in the title, the quote-unquote dead internet? Why is the internet dead, according to this AI conspiracy? First, try to consider the size of the internet. You can't, really. I remember almost 15 years ago now, writing internet content and thinking how I was just one of tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people churning out 10,000 words every day, generating dozens of articles, day after day, all being posted to the internet, and we were just the commercial creators of content. And then imagining the output of all the governments in the world on the web and the personal web pages and the growing social media output. It boggled my mind to imagine all the content and information and data that was being added every day to the internet. I still remember the world before the internet, and I couldn't comprehend how big it was becoming. The amount of information piling up in this online environment, whole worlds being created out there every day, day after day, year after year. So understand that by now, almost 15 years later, the size of the internet is no longer something that the human mind can really take in, if it was even possible back then. A scientist could assign a number to it, a quantity, but that number would mean nothing to you or I at this point. I mean, talk to me about petabytes and see if I really pay attention. So the quote-unquote dead part of the dead internet theory suggests that the vast majority of this practically infinite digital environment is now just really a lot of bot activity, that people and their interactions, their conversations, their commercial activities, their research queries, it all adds up to a minuscule fraction, less than a percent, a negligible portion of the whole. More relevant to our own interactions on the internet, the theory suggests that when you watch that YouTube video and you see all those comments and all those votes and likes and shares, that it's all just fake, or nearly all fake. You may see hundreds of comments and 100,000 views, but you may be the only person watching it. Maybe just you and a handful of others. You're just a wanderer in an online zombie apocalypse world, watching that cat video and thinking you're enjoying it with 10,000 of your fellow humans. But it's really just you, all by your lonesome, in the dark, in the dead glow of your phone screen. But why? Why would anyone do this, whether it's the government or AI? I mean, what's the point? As I suggested before, what makes any conspiracy theory interesting is a certain quantity of inexplicable mystery at its core. So for the theory to have any legs, it's not necessary for there to be a clear explanation. But there are some nebulous propositions or suggested solutions to the mystery. I mentioned before that part of the purpose here could be related to the intelligence community, trying to gaslight the population of the world into seeing things the way that America wants them to see things, and that other intelligence agencies from other countries are probably doing the same, and so it's all just one big online show of competing viewpoints, with a very tiny proportion of the online space actually being utilized by real people, people trying to shop, to watch a movie, to listen to music, and so on. It's mostly just governments trying to manipulate your thoughts. Another viewpoint said that there really is no point to this corpse of an internet that we have now, that it's just the result to be expected of bots and AI taking over, following their programmed motives without thought or proportion or reasonableness, just creating and commenting in an endless eternal routine. Maybe there are viruses and bots and AI programs running wild on the net, not doing anything nefarious because they don't possess human passions or desires, but just carrying out their programming, posting inane photos and comments and poorly written articles one after the other at rapid speed, creating an unimaginably vast digital graveyard of meaningless, dead content. And on the periphery of this online cemetery, we grubby humans rifle through the garbage, through the cast-off junk, looking for a movie on Netflix or flicking past several hundred TikToks, all the while, beyond the gates of the graveyard, The bots replicate and babble to one another. The animated digital ruins of a society that once built pyramids and dared to cross the oceans in ships powered by the wind. When was the last time any of us really explored the internet anyway? Oh, you think that you search for things. You think that you find out unexpected data. You discover a new trend, a new movie, a cultural movement. But really, every time that you punch in a few words into the Google search bar, every time that you ask Siri or Alexa to search for something, every time that you reload your YouTube homepage or scroll through TikTok or Instagram, you're being fed what the algorithm thinks that you want. It doesn't want to surprise you. It wants to give you what it thinks that you want. The algorithm wants to please you, to capture your attention. There is a war for eyeballs going on, and this is the real world war, the real conflict, not the war in Ukraine or the latest Middle East kerfuffle. Who's winning the eyeballs? That's your real conqueror. And you can tailor your experience, sure. You can hit the like button or give something a thumbs down and see less of something or more of something, but what's the end result? How do you ever discover something new if the algorithm is always trying to figure out what you want? You want to be surprised sometimes. You want to learn something so unexpectedly new that it completely shifts your way of thinking, but the algorithm doesn't want to rock your boat. It might want to titillate you, but it doesn't want to risk boring you. And that is where the real discoveries are made, right? When you risk the possibility of being bored and find something that captivates you. It's like going out on a blind date, expecting the worst, and discovering someone that you like, maybe even someone that you love, but it's only after a dozen disappointing dinners and coffee dates. Maybe this is what Avi Gopani means in the quote from the beginning of the episode, that when we turn to the internet, and let's face it, most of us spend several hours per day there now, when we turn to the internet, we are on autopilot, really. There's a robot flying the plane, driving this car, and it's never going to take us anywhere different. The internet had such potential decades ago. When I was a kid, people with very little going on upstairs used to sit in front of the TV and flip through the channels one after the other, not really watching anything. We called the TV the idiot box, a place where you could turn your eyes and just stop thinking. Now the internet, which was the greatest technological accomplishment of mankind, now the internet has just replaced the idiot box. It's where the dead can turn their eyeballs one last time and just watch their life pass them by. I hope that you're real, that you're really listening. I also hope that you'll be able to visit the website at western-traditions.org and buy a t-shirt or make a contribution to support the podcast, even if you are a robot. And if you're one of the bots listening to this podcast, I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, whether you are bot or human, I thank you for listening to the Western Traditions podcast.